All right, I'd like to call to order our February 21st, 2024 meeting of the Ventura Port District Board of Commissioners. We'll start with a pledge.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And a little commercial, if you haven't got your ballots yet, voting day is coming up soon. So thanks. All right, let's start with a roll call, please.
Commissioner Stevens.
Here.
Commissioner Brennan.
Present.
Commissioner Rainey.
Here.
Vice Chair Gardena.
Here.
And Chair Bloomberg.
Here.
Thank you.
Next on our agenda is adoption of tonight's agenda. Commissioners, thoughts on tonight's agenda?
I move we adopt as presented.
Second.
I have a motion and a second to adopt tonight's agenda as presented. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, we've adopted tonight's agenda. Move on to approval of the minutes from our February 7th meeting. Commissioners, any comments on those minutes?
See no comments, no public comments. I'll go ahead and move the minutes as second. Presented.
I've got a motion and a second to approve the minutes from February 7th. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the minutes from February 7th, 2024 are approved. All right, we'll move on to public communications, a period set aside for the public to talk about items that are not on tonight's agenda. And I think we have one public comment. So not on tonight's agenda, right? Joe, welcome. Please hit the button on the mic. Thank
button
you.
On the mic. Good evening, everyone. I'm Joe Lehman. I'm with Hokoloa Outrigger Canoe Club. I believe everybody knows Yvonne, and she wishes she could be here. Actually, so do I. She's much better at this. But I just wanted to have a couple announcements of things that are coming up for us. We are very excited. We are just putting together or bringing back our youth program. So we're going to be on the beach a couple more nights a week, coming up on starting March 11th, every Monday and Wednesday, because the adults are out there on Tuesdays and Thursdays. And our demographic is going to be 10 to 19 year old boys and girls. And we're going to get them out there with our coaches and be teaching them, of course, how to learn proper technique, navigation skills, teamwork dynamics, and which is essential for just success on and off the water. But we are also in discussions with and hoping to secure a partnership with the California State Junior Guard Program. Our partnership with them would allow an additional water sport for their summer camp, which is in the harbor every Wednesday during the summer. So that would be great for us because we would get to provide canoes and adult paddlers to the junior lifeguard program so that the participants would learn how to paddle and hopefully race for us one day. Awesome. And also every year, this year it's going to be Saturday, June 8th is our Outrigger, Ventura Outrigger Challenge, the race we host every year. Going to have well over 1,000 people out there. As every year, we're going to have our food and merchandise vendors, our beer tent hosted by Poseidon. We love Poseidon. And we'll have awards and ceremony post-race. And we're going to also be sharing that day with Paso Pacifico for World Oceans Day. And that's just a celebration of our oceans and the extraordinary life within them. And that's all I wanted to put out. Thank you very much. And it's dangerously close to my bedtime. So
Joe, thank you for coming tonight. Yeah, thank you for coming. Yeah, thank you for sharing those events. Sounds like a great program. Good luck. All right. Any other public comments in the room? Any other public comments online? All right. We will close public communications. Move on to our closed session report. Counselor?
Chair Blumenberg, members of the board met in closed session to discuss all five of the leases listed in the agenda. Took a report from council and gave direction to council and staff, but no reportable action was taken under the Brown Act.
Thank you. Move on to board communications, an opportunity for the commissioners to give brief reports on issues affecting the district. Commissioners? Looks like we have no updates tonight, so we will close board communications and move on to our staff and general manager report.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I've got a couple items from marketing and then one from myself. Next Sunday is National Clam Chowder Day. And in honor of the annual culinary holiday, Clam Chowder Challenge has been launched, inviting guests to share, tag, and submit photos of their favorite clam chowder at Ventura Harbor Village restaurants for a chance to win dining gift cards. Digital promotions as well as on-site campaigns at the village are through February 25th. To date, the campaign has over a 6,000 reach, 20,000 impressions, and over 1,000 engagements. We talked about this last time, the annual tenant celebration for our restaurants, retailers, and charter businesses is coming up this next Thursday, with the Port District honoring village milestones that include 5 years for Anya's Boutique, 10 years for Barefoot Boutique, and 20 years for Margarita Villa Mexican Restaurant. Following the tenant celebration, women owners, managers, and staff are invited to participate in a photo shoot on the promenade in preparation to honor International Women's Day in March. The photo will be used on social and an ad in Ventana magazine to celebrate women in business at the village. This last Friday, I had the opportunity to host a anthropology class from Cal State University Channel Islands, who was here for the day at the harbor and was a guest lecturer along with Eliza Harrison from Ocean Rainforest. And we gave a speech on and a talk on sustainable forms of aquaculture and our desire within the harbor to grow that opportunity and bring that to the harbor itself. So right where you all are sitting, we had about 22 students and their professor here, and a great opportunity for them to learn more about the harbor itself and opportunities for the future. So well received, good group, good questions, and nice dynamic engagement. So that's my report for tonight.
Thank you, Brian. Do we have any public comments, any questions on the staff general manager report?
Yeah, I should say, obviously, all of the departmental reports are included, yeah. Photos from all the different projects and activities, if there's any questions or comments.
Commissioners, any?
Yeah. One question. Will the clam chowder include Manhattan clam chowder?
Let's hope not.
That's not really chowder, but
it sounds like the challenge has already begun.
That's right.
My comment is that as a native Rhode Islander, you really should have somebody from my home state in Europe.
Tasting, yeah.
But what I just heard is Ralph Amande is prepared to enter the competition.
He's a judge.
One comment on the projects, the promenade side patio conversion. Look forward to that. I think that's an area right now that looks a little quiet, and so the idea of sprucing that up, making it to a public kind of picnic area, sounds like a great idea until we can get our new tenants into that building.
Yeah, we put some dollars to that in the budget, mid-year budget as well.
I did have a question about the marina report. It talks about slips occupied at 103%, and how do we do that?
Literally, they there's side ties, there's doubling up. Some boats, our agreements provide that if they are away for a period of time, and there's a lot of good communication between Dave Werneberg and his team, and the boats, but it could be that a boat is headed towards, you know, up north or Alaska, mm-hmm. you know, and they know they're going to be gone for 3 months. Then Dave does have the right to put a boat temporarily into that slip during that time. So that's how you can get over 100%. So the math can happen.
Right. And I also noted that during some of the storm events, we also helped the other marinas by bringing boats over to our docks. That was great.
That was between Dave and John Higgins working with some of the boaters who lost slips. I think it was at Ventura West 1 or 2, John? Was it 2, wasn't it?
Yeah,
2, it was yeah. It needed some temporary home.
Yeah, I always like to see how we work together within the harbor. Sticking on the marina report, fishery says no squid landings in Monterey this year, and we're suffering through the same down here, low squid landings. I think we're going to talk about that in the financial reports. It just kind of underscores the initiative that the board, the district has been pursuing of aquaculture, right, to steady out our waterfront work.
Yeah, and we're prepared actually to, I think we're looking at March 20th for a presentation from Ocean Rainforest, who is interested in pursuing a permit very close to Ventura for future aquaculture. You have a question, Greg?
Yeah, not about the marina. Are you ready to move
on? Yeah, go ahead.
I just had a question, and I realize I don't think I've asked this before. When I'm looking at Todd's report regarding the vacancies, when we're identifying the percentage of vacancies, are we including properties that are leased but not yet available?
Jessica Snipes is here. I'm going to answer it broadly, but she can correct me. So usually what we have is they're either occupied and in a lease, they're occupied, but they're in a month-to-month, which would make it a quote available, even if we're working on a new lease with them, or it could just be vacant altogether. I mean, generally, those are the three categories that something would fall into. It's either in a lease, it's occupied, but not in a lease, or it's vacant.
Well, so loose cannon,
mm-hmm.
It's in a lease.
That's in a lease. I'm assuming we show that as occupied, correct? Yes.
Okay, so that was my question.
Yeah.
So these are either month-to-month vacancies, mm-hmm. or they're vacant and unleased.
Correct.
Okay.
So as long as we have a lease, even if they're not in the lease so far, then we count them as being leased.
Okay. All right. But a month-to-month is not considered leased.
Correct.
Okay.
Month, it's not.
Okay, great. Okay.
But it's also not considered vacant, right?
Right.
If they're in there, yeah.
Jessica, I got one more for you, as long as you're up there. Mm-hmm. So in the property and leasing report, we talked about an ongoing business license and insurance audit.
Yeah.
Is that an internal audit, or is that somebody else coming in and looking at
it? No, it's internal. We're just making sure we're going through the leases and making sure that we have everything up to date. So it's a process, because sometimes it might not, it seemed that hard, but you go back and forth several times, so especially with insurance.
Okay, very good.
Anything else?
I don't think so. Thank you.
Okay.
Just let me look a little bit. All right. I think I'm good. Commissioners, looks like you're good. So we will close the staff and general manager reports. Actually, I want to back up a little bit. I want to go to board communications because I forgot to talk about CMANC. The bond, the business operations manager, and I went back to CMANC last week. Pretty full day. Wednesday, Todd attended a lot of presentations. Thursday, we walked the halls of Congress, talked to our state representatives, both at the senator's office and Carbajal Hall's office, got to meet face-to-face with Carbajal. He's been a great supporter of us, getting us into this year's budget and writing letters to get us in next year's budget. Todd does a great job of summarizing all the events for the congressman, and much appreciated. So that was a good week back there. I had one thought I wanted to share on that week. Sorry, it was a good week.
Did the doors stay on your plane?
Yeah, the doors stayed on the plane, both directions.
The wings separated.
Yes. Yeah. All right, we'll move on to consent agenda. So the consent calendar, typically items that are non-controversial. Tonight we have out-of-town travel approvals, authorization to execute a funding agreement from the grant, and termination of a current lease on the consent agenda. So let me go to public comments first. Do we have any public comments on our consent agenda? Ralph, I think you wanted to say something on that, please.
Yes, Linda, and I certainly appreciate the opportunity to address the board tonight on this particular agenda item. As you might imagine, This has been an extraordinarily difficult time under the circumstances, even for a couple of diehards like us. But I will say that the help we received for Brian, Todd, Jessica, Joe, Sergio, Wayne, and the rest of the maintenance crew has really helped things quite a bit. I mean, they were there. Joe alerted us to the fact that there was water coming out of the front door of the lab, and those guys were there right away to ensure that no more damage happened to the lab or to the building itself. So we're very appreciative of that. Approval of this lease will enable CMB to rise above this mess, continue our operations, our educational activities, meet grant deliverables, and continue the work that we started nearly 17 years ago. It's been that long, and you know, when you're in a situation like this, all kinds of crazy things go through your head. But I think I speak for both of us when I say that we can't really even imagine pursuing our work anywhere else but Ventura Harbor. This has been our home for quite some time, and we hope that we can continue this work. And I'll end just by giving everyone here an assurance. We certainly appreciate your service to the community, and we would appreciate an opportunity for us to continue our service.
Ralph, thank you for coming tonight. Thank you for sharing that with us. I appreciate it. And I think we all understand it's a tough situation for you guys right now. Do we have any other public comments on consent? Not in person, not online. So I'll turn it over to the commissioners. Questions? Becky, you have a question on? No questions? Can I get a motion?
I move approval of the consent calendar as presented.
Second.
So I have a motion and a second to approve the consent calendar as presented. And this can be a voice vote. So all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none opposed, the consent agenda is approved. All right. We will move on to our standard agenda. Item number one is adoption of resolution 3492 regarding the financial statements. Brian?
Yeah, I'm going to turn this presentation over to Gloria Atkins, our accounting manager.
Good evening, commissioners. You have before you the financial statements for the second quarter of the fiscal year ending 12/31. The quarter ended with an increase in net financial positions of $1,414,000, and that is cumulative for the first 6 months. This is consistent for the second quarter, as the district receives the first installment of the annual property tax revenue from the county in December, which contributes to the increase. The operating revenues surpass the budget by 4%. The operating expenses are 7% less than budgeted for the first half of the fiscal year. I worked on my terminology. Investment income continues to reflect positively for the quarter. As we know, the fair market value for LAIF has increased about 1% over this time last year, so it's allowing for a smaller reduction in the fair market value that we have to book against the income. And this concludes my report for the evening. Are there any questions?
Do we have any public comments on this agenda item? None in the room. Anybody online? No public comments. We'll close that. Turn it over to commissioners. Thoughts on the financial report?
All I can say is looking good. Really, really happy to see that we're doing above projection. And I just want to say that I just want to thank you, Gloria, for with the work and everything like that in terms of managing the finances. Very, very pleased.
We're getting my staff more trained in and involved in this process, so they're really learning a lot.
Since I stepped out for a second, I don't know if Gloria mentioned, but we did have a chance with Commissioner Rainey being our audit liaison. We did invite him to discuss the quarterly financial reports in advance of tonight's meeting.
I just had a quick question about the late fees increase. Was that just an anomaly for this year, or it went up like 6,069%?
In the past couple of years, the late fair market value has been the percentage that you would get at a fair market value has been so low that when you book the difference between the 100% and the 98 or 97% that they say on the income statement, it's not true numbers, but you have to book a loss. And that loss was negating our interest income on the books. We still received interest. We still received revenue for the interest, but because of the way we have to book the fair market value difference, it appears like there was no income, but there was.
No, I'm you may have answered my question, and it's just that I'm okay. Limited when it comes to this. There's a revenue line called late fees.
Late fees. Let me figure out where you're at.
It's the the comparative income statement. And it went up 6,069%.
Okay.
I was just, your other answer sounded really good, but.
No. We're talking about two different things here.
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't catch that it was late, L-A-T-E.
Yes.
This year, Todd and Jessica and Brian, they've been working very hard to pursue late fees. And
so we're
with COVID, et cetera.
Got it.
That, you know, we were backing off a bit. And
okay.
This year we've really going, you know what, we're not playing games anymore, tenants.
Okay.
You will be late. You will have late fees.
Okay.
And that's why that's so drastic.
Yeah.
There's something called LAIF, and I think she first heard LAIF, which is the local agency investment fund. Where we put our
I understand late very well, but what she responded to, I was like, oh, I felt like I had no idea what you were talking about.
Thank you for your patience.
You weren't alone. Another question on the financial report is the, so our maintenance contingency. So I think we've talked in the past about the value of having a contingency to give you that flexibility. And little surprised to see that we've underspent on that area. In spite of all the rough weather, I'm looking at, again, the comparative income statement. This is page 2 of that, kind of halfway down in general expenses. So I just want to, I guess, make sure that we're not being unnecessarily frugal, right? We're spending money where we need to stay up with all these storm damages, right?
Well, I think, this period is through December 31st, correct? Most of the storm activity we saw this year has been since January 1. I think almost every storm that John's been tracking that we've dealt with, there might have been one before the 31st, I can't remember, but in terms of impactful storms, everything has been in January forward.
Yeah.
So I think that could be one of the reasons you're seeing that. I certainly wouldn't, we're certainly not being frugal where we shouldn't be. That's a double negative.
I think I understand. And the operating income were up, looking at percentages again, this is page 3, 280%. So much of that was due to the easements, wasn't it? We got some one-time income from easements.
Yeah, we're going to touch on that a bit more in the next report, but you'll see the full value of the construction permanent easements and reimbursement of legal fees associated with Water Pure.
Those have not shown up yet in the December report.
Okay.
So I'm trying to figure out which line that you're on exactly.
Operating income, kind of the top of page 3 there. 280% of the budget. What's there?
Why am I not seeing this? Okay, there's operating revenues, non-operating revenues.
Right above the non-operating revenues. Is there operating income? That's what I was looking at. That's what caught my eye.
Oh, okay. That's the net operating revenues. Okay, that's the difference between the operating revenue that we bring in on the first page minus the expenses on the second page. And what that percentage is saying is that the budget anticipated we have a net income of $198,000 at this point, but we've actually have a much higher net income of $753,000. That's a combination of expenses being under budget or of $356,000, and your revenues being over budget. That's the percentage looks funny on paper.
Well, it looks pretty darn good on paper. Okay, so that's the net.
We haven't
so
taken as big a loss or have as much as we anticipated. Not a loss, but you know.
I think the bottom line number there is a change in net position of $1.14 million to the positive. So again, another good quarter. I like the statement that expenses are a little bit less than we budgeted, and revenues a little bit more. So I think you guys got a track record of doing that. So congratulations on another good quarter.
Okay.
I think I'm good. I don't see any other questions. So we can close standard agenda item number one and move on to numbers. Oh, this is, I'm
move,
sorry.
I move approval as presented.
Yep, thank you.
Second.
Didn't I do public comment earlier on this? Thought I did.
What's that?
Yeah, resolution. So we need a roll call vote. Roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Stevens?
Yes.
Commissioner Brennan?
Yes.
Commissioner Rainey?
Yes.
Vice Chair Gardena?
Yes.
Chair Blumenberg?
Yes.
Vote carries 5-0.
Thank you. We'll move on to standard agenda item number two, resolution 3493, approving the fiscal year 23-24 mid-year budget adjustments.
Chair, we have a PowerPoint that summarizes the report that you have in your
That summarizes the report that you have in the packet. I'm going to ask Lori to go through the first three slides, and then I'll go through the next four. You can certainly stop us along the way, but it's a fairly quick presentation. And then maybe go back, but I'll leave that up to you. Go ahead, Lori.
Okay. Good evening, commissioners. Attached for your review and approval are the staff's proposed mid-year budget adjustments for the fiscal year 23-24. The proposed changes resulted in a net increase in cash flow of $560,000 from normal operations and debt service for a total income of $2,056,000. We refer to our charts here. The operating revenues, you've seen the chart in the past where we're comparing prior years to current years. The chart reflects the year-over-year change in the revenues. Proposed operating revenues for 23-24 mid-year budget is $11,893,000. This is a 4% increase over the estimated actual fiscal year 22-23 revenue of $11,407,000. And as you know, we're still working on that, finalizing that year. The proposed revenue includes a 6.5% increase, which is $726,000 over the current budget of $11,167,000. The increase is at the net effect of the following: receipt of one-time monies from the city of the $510,000 for Ventura Water Pier's construction and permanent easement and the reimbursement of legal fees, which you were referring to earlier, and that will be in the January financial statements. The receipt of investment income from LAIF. We talked about that inadvertently.
Is that LAIF?
We do now. Thank you.
I apologize. And those two increases are offset by a reduction of $74,000 in lease revenues. The $74,000 decrease reflects an increase for master tenants and a decrease in both the Harbor Village tenants and the Village slip income. But we saw those coming with the weather, etc. Then also for clarification, in this section, the operating revenue as shown here does not include county property tax or grant income. Okay, so we want to make sure that we're not anticipating those numbers in here. We can go to the next slide, please. This is our operating expenses year-over-year change in operations. The proposed operating expenses for fiscal year 23-24 mid-year budget is $7,744,000. This is a 22% increase over the fiscal year estimated actual 22-23. revenue of $6,334,000. The proposed expenses include a 1.9% increase, which is $146,000 over the current budget of $7,598,000. These increases reflect, and kind of listed there as well, a decrease of $29,000 in net personnel expenses to reflect a decrease due to a retirement and an increase related to promotional opportunities. There's an increase of $5,000 in grounds maintenance to procure patio furniture and plants to enhance the promenade patio at 1575 Spinnaker. I believe you were alluding to that one earlier today or tonight. There was an increase of $120,000 for professional services related to lease, legal fees, and coastal development permits. And then there was an increase of $50,000 for private security services due to services needed during the holiday events and coverage for staffing over at the village. Additional, aside from this right now, the additional increases that are not covered in the operating section, which is what these slides are for, there was an increase of $20,000 in Harbor Patrol overtime expenses due to storm-related responses, and we know we account for Harbor Patrol in their own little budget. And there was an increase of $830,000 for Inner Harbor dredging based on the results of a recently completed competitive bid process for the Inner Harbor dredging. Next slide, please. This chart is a five-year outlook of revenue and expenses. The chart shows that revenues continue to exceed expenditures. The green plus the purple areas represent revenue, and the purple area represents the expenses. This budget forecast meets or exceeds the required bond covenant for the net revenues to meet or exceed the 115% of the current year debt service as required by the debt. And that's my report.
Okay, next slide. Okay, so listed here, and this was in your report. Gloria tells me that the chart that was in your report initially was a slightly outdated version. So you'll see a couple of changes in red there. That doesn't mean that that's the changes from before. These are changes that need to be made because this chart was out of date. But in looking at changes that we consider to be notable in the CIP budget at the mid-year, we've listed them here. These are items, I think, over 25,000 in changes. The launch ramp floating dock dropping by 100,000 based on reduction in estimated cost. Two restroom projects, number 2 and 3, increases in both of those based on scope and soft cost increases. 4 is immediately adjacent to the area we were just talking about as it relates to enhancing the during the vacancy there. This is the curved patio wall that needs to be reconstructed. We want to do that prior to releasing the space. But what can we physically do in the next 3 months? We can really do planning activities, but not construction in that short of a time frame. So again, sometimes these adjustments don't mean that the project has dropped a cost. It's what can we do in the remaining fiscal year, which there are very few months left of. Paid parking infrastructure, similarly, it's not that we're decreasing that project. It's what can be done in the next couple of months. Most of it would be soft costs related to that. And continued conversation with the city about approving our project. Building roofs, that will be deferred. That's been an ongoing multi-year effort on various buildings. We would push that back. Harbor entrance feature, this is the identification of funds for Schooner and Harbor Boulevard. We've gotten some good feedback now from the city on that. Related to the project. So we can actually be bringing that back to the board pretty soon with the final design, at least from the Port District's perspective, and some direction from the city on how to approach entitlement for that project. But again, what can we do in the next 3 months? We can't build it, but we can submit plans to the city and amend our sign plan program, which is what they've asked us to do as part of the approval process. Dry storage lot resurfacing. This one's actually going the opposite direction, which is the Blois, is that right, guys? How to say it? Blois Construction ish. I'm in the neighborhood, ballpark. All right. They are required as part of their use of our dry storage facility across the street from here. They're required to repave the portion that they've been occupying when they're complete. It's a great opportunity to repave the entire thing. They would do, I'm going to say ballpark, about a third of it, and we would pay for the other two thirds that's ours that they haven't been using. So we actually want to advance that project and get that done all at one time. And then two others that, again, the numbers were outdated, 1575 building facade improvements. So this would be the same space that we're talking where the wall is, the curved wall. But again, we're in soft cost preliminary design work right now, but we'll bring some of that back to the board in the coming months. But that one, we actually do want to spend a fairly significant amount of money, $50,000, to work on total design for that. And Harbor Cove, Surfers Knoll, grant funding, grant delay start. I don't have a lot of detail on that one, other than it sounds to me like the bulk of that will get pushed into the next fiscal year. So we're reducing that, I'm assuming, for soft cost related expenses. So I have asked Jessica to update the permanent record of this meeting to make sure that these numbers are accurately reflected. So if we're all looking back at these numbers of number 9, 25,000 will appear, 50,000 will appear, and 30,000 will appear, rather than the outdated numbers there. But I think it was just the chart. It didn't impact Gloria's other numbers, which were all accurate.
An older version of the CIP that when we made a few changes,
yeah.
This it didn't transfer to this while we did this report.
Next slide, please. And this is the whole list. I didn't intend to go through this, but this is in your packet. It shows all of the information. Next. That's the rest of it. And next. And then one more chart. This is one you've seen over the last couple of years. And the blue plus orange equals the total amount of money, both in reserves and in capital improvement reserves. If you want to break them apart, the blue is the reserve policy minimum balance, which is 40% of our expenses. If you look at that plus all of the orange area is the capital improvement reserve forecasted for June 30. Again, the way to think about the orange is additional funds that are above our Port District policy of the 40%. And where do those monies go? They go into a capital improvement reserve forecast. And that's where those monies are held. So they're not allocated to any specific project. They're excess proceeds. That's a good thing. That means that if we look at the current numbers, 23-24, Gloria, am I lining up correctly that it's about $11.5 million is what we're anticipating?
Yes.
Okay. And so the minimum, the 40% would be roughly 4 million something.
Yeah.
As far as what's required. Sometimes I get the question about, you know, where are there additional contingencies and monies? As you can see, we have double the requirement of monies on hand.
This information is in more detail on attachment 3, page 102 of the historical and projected revenue and expense cash flow, which we pretty much provide every time we look at the budget and the mid-year budget to give you guys an idea of where we're at.
Yeah. Jessica, do I have any more slides, or is that the last one? I guess that's it. We can go back to the top and answer questions that you have on any of the slides or whatever was in the report.
Let me ask for public comments first. No public comments in the room. Any public comments online? All right. So we'll close public comments. Give it back to the commissioners, Chris.
So this undesignated reserve might be the kind of place we might take monies from to replenish our required dredging reserve, for example.
Yes. And the five-year plan shows that we would, as you saw, monies that would be needed to do the Inner Harbor dredging that will come from the Inner Harbor, from the reserve dredge fund would be replenished by these kinds of monies, yes.
You know, you also mentioned the investment earnings are, mm-hmm. and so you're estimating 290,000.
Right.
Is that our overage that we've experienced so far this year, and so the rest of the year you'll forecast at what we forecasted, or how are you doing that forecast?
I'm curious. With that one, the 290,000 that I'm showing there, that's actual income that we received. That was the actual income. And with the way things were, I was hesitant to try to budget the third and fourth quarters. So there's nothing in there for that yet. Or, you know, there won't be till the end of the year. And, but I knew for sure that I have this income. I know where the fair market value stood at that point. And so I recorded or as budget income received of interest income actually received.
I support that 100%. I think it's consistent with our very conservative methodology. So just wanted to confirm that. I think that's great. You know, the parcel lease income. So can you explain that a little bit more? I think we had $230,000 in parcel lease income over and above.
Right. The parcel lease income generally refers to master tenants, not the village tenants, but those actually doing on the parcels. A couple of the tenants are doing better than we anticipated. Portside and I believe VIM. And when we reevaluated the budget, you know, their estimated actual for the year, we could easily include that much money.
And did you use the same kind of technique here, which is what we've realized so far and keeping your future?
I did. I said, okay, what have they paid for the first 6 months? Take a conservative month, carry it forward for the next 6 months and see where they were at. So we didn't. You know, we didn't exaggerate them or bring them down. We're very conservative as to going forward.
Perfect. That's great. One last question, Ed. When you're comparing our budget to your changes, the actions that we've taken in the first 6-7 months, for example, last meeting, we approved the expenditure for the Inner Harbor dredging. Is that in your changes? I want to make it. So, okay, so that's you're comparing this to the budget as adopted in July or June or when I can't remember
Correct.
What our actual date was.
Correct.
Okay.
You've approved changes and we have included those as adjustments.
As a change, as
adjustments.
Yes. Okay, very good. Just wanted to kind of confirm that.
There was one other category of revenues we considered including and we decided not to, which is appreciation rent. A little bit to your point about conservative forecasting, we do have a couple of possible changes in ownership on a couple of master parcels, same management groups, but sometimes this happens and it triggers lease clauses that require depreciation rent calculation as part of the change. And it's possible we may achieve some additional monies between now and June, but given how many few months are left and those are going through their due diligence periods, I just wasn't sure that they would actually occur in the current fiscal year.
Actually, I have one more. Minor point. You had sand management was not expenses, and I think that was on your permitting, sand management permitting expenses, and then you also had your Inner Harbor dredging permitting. So I thought sand management was kind of related to Inner Harbor dredging. Can you explain?
Yeah,
the
two
between those?
Sure, two different activities. The sand management is when predominantly facilities each season is doing a movement to keep pathways clear from the parking lots to the beaches to the beach restrooms and so on. Not only is it something that we do, it's something we're actually required to do under our coastal development permit with the city when the restrooms were originally built. The Coastal Commission has decided that they have jurisdiction over that activity, given that sand moves around beyond the restrooms and into the beach areas themselves. And so part of that cost issue is that we've been working with them for many months now on what will be a new coastal development permit through the Coastal Commission, in addition to the city's permit that will provide for the both the authority and the requirements by which we can move sand around the beach. And so that costs money, yes. The Inner Harbor dredging is just that. It's the all the areas that we identified that we hope to be partially offset by FEMA funds. But the way that we budgeted this, and to your point about the additional funds within the capital improvement reserve, and I think that's why you probably see that dip coming down between the 11.5 and the 9.6 to a degree, is to make up for that $1 million. So our intent, we budgeted that by next fiscal year, we will move $1 million back into that reserve, bring it back, hold $3 million. 2 years out, we put a little bit less than 65% of that being recovered by FEMA. Hopefully we get more, but we at least we put it out 2 years, knowing that we're going to have to fill that hole in the next year.
Thank you.
Good questions. Others?
Yeah, just a quick question on, given all the rain, is Water Pure on track to be completed in a timely fashion? And if not, will we realize additional easement funds as a result of the need to?
I don't think they're far off the mark. I don't have the most current information, but there are obligations that if they go beyond a certain time frame, and I think it was roughly June-ish, that there's a monthly fee that they would have to pay for continued use of our facilities. What we booked, I don't know if that's the right word, but what we have put in here in terms of revenue, I'm looking at my my accounting experts, is the revenue that they agreed to pay without delay, which is, again, reimbursement of legal fees, something we negotiated, plus the easements, both construction and permanent easements, that we would receive payment on all of those monies prior to the end of the fiscal year. But you're right, if it goes longer for whatever reason, then there are provisions in which they would have monthly, I think it's either monthly or daily or some combination thereof, additional costs to us.
Today we received the legal fees and the fees that were easement fees that were not through the escrow. So we have received the entire $500,000.
That was timely.
And I just want to note, I thought your conclusion first sentence was well played. Under the leadership of the Board of the Port Commissioners, the general manager maintains a cautiously optimistic view. I just want to say, under the leadership of the general manager and the amazing team that he has put around him is what makes this place work so well. You guys make it incredibly easy for us, but I appreciate the shout out in the report nonetheless.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome.
Well said.
And thank you.
O'Brien, the discussion so far has been on 2A, adoption of 3493 in the mid-year budget. Did you want to talk about paragraph B separately or in addition? This is the salary schedule adjustments, your staffing adjustments.
Yeah, basically two changes here. Most of what you saw here was related to promotional opportunities. There is a position that I am requesting to bring back that was taken off the books. The position was a management assistant. That person who we all know was Robbie, who's to sit here at the front. During COVID, that position and part of other reorganizations within the various departments, we took that off the books. We were also in a hiring freeze period of time, so we weren't going to be rehiring, and we also increased staffing in other departments, including our patrol and facilities. So my staff, who are mostly all around me here, have picked up a lot of those duties. But it's also given me the opportunity to look at that position and I think add new responsibilities to it. We have a growing number of grants. I think we've all had that discussion about grants, and grants require a lot of work. Jessica Snipes has been involved in that. John Higgins has been involved in that. Todd has as well. That requires a lot of work in terms of the reporting requirements and so on. Jessica Snipes has touched on the insurance and what was the other audit, insurance and business license audits. Those are the kinds of things that are tasks that she's performing, but frankly, her time could be used better elsewhere. And one of our other activities every year are commercial identification cards, CIDs, that make sure that everyone who works in this harbor has a commercial ID card from us. They have proper insurance and so on. That used to be that position's duties. Jessica Roush has taken that on for me in this interim period of time. So everybody's stepped up and done those things, but it's taking away from their core duties. So our recommendation is to bring that back. The other change that you see is related to creating a additional step in the ladder within accounting. One of the things that we did a couple of years ago, as you recall, is we added the accountant 1-2. We added the tech. Well, the tech had always been there, but we didn't create a tech 2. And this would create opportunities for people within each of those positions to have more opportunities, more rungs on those ladders to continue to move up. So
more responsibilities.
What's that?
More responsibilities.
And more, of course, more responsibilities to go with that. So those are the two changes we're making. Also, in the body of the document, you saw for the first time implementing the merit program. And I think the board had asked me previously when we adopted the this year, FY23-24 budget, if there had been a number put into that. The answer was yes. This is the number that's in there. The recommendation would be to, we've just gone through the whole process of everybody being evaluated, completed that. As you recall, that's a precursor step to this. And as if I have this right, I think the way this is written is that it's the first full pay period after adoption of the mid-year budget. If you made this recommendation, those that received a 4 or higher in their valuations would receive this increase, which again is a permanent increase to their wages. So I think those are kind of the highlights.
I'd say that last one's a good highlight.
Yeah, and well deserved.
Yes, absolutely. Looks like we've exhausted the questions. We've done public comments.
I've got one more,
Tony.
I think it strengthens us two ways, especially is first from the management control point of view, that we as the board wanting management salaries and schedules and making sure that grants from a high level are monitored and managed. That helps us, but we also need the internal controls, that is the people actually doing it. And I think this strengthens it instead of having it allocated for the internal controls to different parts. And then management has to say, oh, well, where are we on this? Are we on the business license and certificates? Where are we on that grant? It concentrates it into one. So my point being is the internal controls here will help the management controls for us and for Brian and for staff. I like that. In there, I think it'll be helpful.
Yeah, I agree. When I went to the city's general planning, they were debating a similar thing of, do we manage grants by departments, or do we bring grants kind of centralized? You're arguing a central control is going to be better managed. I think that's what you're intending here, and I would agree with Tony. I think it's a good move. Can we, if I get a motion, can we do both resolutions in one roll call vote? So we, commissioners, we've got two resolutions in front of us.
I have a question for the clerk.
Yes, sorry. Please.
Do you want them to amend the recommendations based on the changes in the capital improvement plan and make that part of their motion?
The red line changes that you presented to us?
Correct.
If the commission would like to, yes, they can. Do you want to make it part of the public record?
I move approval of the two resolutions and with a reflection of the changes highlighted for us in your presentation.
Second.
So we have a motion and a second to approve resolution 3493, subject to the red line changes to the capital improvement plan, and resolution 3494. Can I get a roll call vote, please?
Commissioner Stevens?
Yes.
Commissioner Brennan?
Yes.
Commissioner Rainey?
Yes.
Vice Chair Gardena?
Yes.
Chair Blumenberg?
Yes.
Vote carries 5-0.
All right. Thank you.
You know, if I might jump in real quick, I have to say this resolution is beautiful, right? You know, I wish every organization I worked in would have this kind of a resolution. If anyone has a question about what we just did and what the changes were in the budget, they can look here on this, it's not crowded with whereases and wherefores and all those things that we love to do in resolutions. It gets right to the point. So well done.
I would like to stipulate that the change that we made on that chart and in the report did not in any way affect our budget adjustments. okay, that everything in the budget adjustment reflected correctly in those reports. It was more of a board report correction.
Thank you, Gloria. We're going to move on to the standard agenda number 3, an update on the Pacific storm events. Brian?
Yeah, we put this on again. John and I, you know, based on what we knew was coming last week, John was tracking National Weather Service reports. A lot of the team here between facilities, his other Harbor Patrol officers, come in and view those daily briefings when the kind of events that are going to occurred again. You might have seen I did waive minimum hours of operation at the village for 3 days. It did turn out that Monday, you know, Sunday night into Monday clearly was the big event that came through. John, would you like to touch on what your observations were in terms of the event itself and anything you'd like to share with the board?
I think what we're doing is working, and the rain is good. It's creating challenges, but we're addressing those challenges as we see them. The last event wasn't to the level that the one before was, but we were better prepared than the one before. So that's always good that we're moving forward as far as the preparedness on our side and communications and things to that. I thought it was interesting I think down to storm number 4 on this one, and I still don't even have the end in sight. This one this weekend looks like it's going to be bumped to like Monday, but there's already something the following Saturday. So just outside, there's another multi-day type thing, but, you know, we're well positioned. We appreciate that extra support and giving the funds so that we can bring on extra people. We see it is so much easier for us to do the job when we have extra staff. When it's just two of us, it's very difficult. Being able to bring in those extra people have made addressing issues efficient, safe, and effective. So much appreciation. I did do a little research, and you know, we're now moving through the El Nino, and
this isn't the budget, right, John?
Yeah. I had to stare at it for about 5 minutes before I realized that it's blocks of months. So January, February, March, April, March, April, May. And so the red represents the El Nino, the gray is the neutral, and then the blue is the La Nina. So you see a transition leaving from the El Nino or the strong El Nino, and we're transitioning to the neutral, and then potentially, or more than likely, heading towards the La Nina, a drier type of winter weather pattern. So that's, I think, going to be nice. We'll let the water soak into the ground, replenish those aquifers, and with the La Nina, we might get a little bit more of the tropical hurricanes, which tends to bring sand back towards our area. So the South Beach area that we're going to be addressing here as early as next month, around the 15th, that could help reinforce that. So, yeah, it seemed wise to keep this on the agenda to give you guys updates, give you the opportunity to ask questions, but also give you feedback on when we ask for the extra overtime, what it's being used for, and how we keep advancing to meet the needs of the public.
I would add we've had ongoing communication with City Engineer and Holiday Inn Express, who are communicating directly with each other. So there is ongoing dialogue. I think the city understands that there is a issue. You know, we'll see where that goes. But appreciate the discussion at the last meeting. I did tell the city engineer we'd probably be discussing that again tonight based on the events. And again, I have, I think, an even better appreciation for it, spending time with John out there on site during the storm event to see what was happening in real time. But we'll keep that dialogue open with the city and see where that goes. Maybe that's an additional request the board might want to present to the city council, which is some possible infrastructure improvements in that corner and intersection that would keep Navigator from flooding at the rate that it has been. So something to talk about since we'll be meeting with council next Tuesday night.
Michael, thank you, Chair. John, I was going to ask it earlier, but I thought I'd wait till now. And that was you mentioned the movement of the boats, I believe, to displaced by the fire. And was that what that was?
No, the movement of the boats was to kind of get ahead of the strong surges from the high surf events.
Oh, and
that was relocating them from both the Keys and then the Ventura West that was having some challenges. Yesterday, we did have a boat fire over at Ventura West Marina. We were able to get there really quick. The fire department, ourselves, we relocated boats in a temporary measure just to remove the exposure, essentially, and to keep it there. We were able to put those boats back immediately after. Okay. So the boat is... they did the investigation. Now it's an insurance thing. We're trying to encourage the owner to influence his insurance company to pull it out of the water so it doesn't become a potential hazard as far as sinking. We're not worried that it will reignite, but anytime that there's fire inside, things like through holes and hose lines and stuff.
Well, that was my thought, is that it was still in the water. And I think that certainly getting it out of it. I wanted to ask... What, do we still have a fireboat, or is that, I think we decommissioned it, or do we bring it back? I'm trying to remember.
We do.
Okay. And was it utilized?
No, we need to kind of keep it short. Or is that, can I talk about that type of thing in this, or is that just...
Not sure what you're referring
talk
to.
About the fireboat?
I think you're...
Storm update.
Yeah, John, I think you're giving your response capabilities.
Yeah.
Challenges.
Sorry.
No, good. I was thinking the same thing, but it's...
We still have the fireboat, and what might have confused you guys is I've had boat issues with only two boats. Whenever there's one boat out of service, then it's, you know, we're down to one boat. We had an issue that was fixed with the fireboat, but it was out of service for a while. As soon as we got it back in the water, our fuel tank and boat 19 went out, and that's been in the yard. So it's been rough. I think in my report, I referenced those state boats that were supposed to be coming our way. They encountered some issues with their vendor, and so I think my focus and what I'm going to be talking with Brian is pursuing a new fireboat, or pursuing a new boat that has firefighting capabilities, so we have redundancy in the harbor. Irregardless of what happens with the state, I think that's the smart move, because the boats we know now are significantly more expensive and are only going to get more expensive, and the build times are looking at anywhere from a year to multiple years. So,
well, good, because that was stimulating when I was looking at the financial reports. I saw the check to the boatyard for. I kept thinking maybe that's fireboat related. So, thank you for that update.
Thanks, John. Any public comments? I don't see anybody
on it. This is quasi related to this and to the next year's budget, but what Commissioner Gardenia and I brought up, if we've brought up several times, and I raised it to staff, is weather is changing, the climate is changing, and that in the future, when we're doing future forecasts, is to plan. I suggested, do we need more staff? Do we need more equipment? What is it that we need to do? I love, you know, the direction we're going fiscally, but I also am concerned about what Mother Nature is going to do. I'm also concerned as to federal government, particularly Army Corps of Engineers, in terms of dredging and the like. So I just think that this needs to be, and you brought it up too, this needs to be in our minds in terms of planning for the future.
Yeah, I you know, maybe just one quick comment. I mean, I think certainly the upcoming fiscal year budget, and then also the board has scheduled a goal setting session in September, and some of these broader issues that I think I agree with you. We've been hearing some of the themes here about sort of, I'm going to call it harbor resiliency and you know, planning for that. And those are pretty big topics. And I think somewhere in the goal setting session and also in our budgeting process might be an opportunity to roll up our sleeves and talk about that in greater detail than we can in any of one of these one specific items here. So, suggestion.
I look forward to that. And that is in September. What's the date on that again? Our goal setting workshop. September 14th, sounds like. So as long as we're talking about upcoming, well, I want to go back to public comments. I don't want to forget about that. So I see no one in the room besides staff. Do we have anybody online? No public comments on this agenda item. So we'll close that agenda item. I want to talk a little bit about future events. You mentioned Tuesday, the vice chair and I and yourself are going to go to city council, provide them an update. That's part of our standard outreach, keeping in touch with city council. Our next meeting here is in 2 weeks on the 6th of March, right? Oh, and tomorrow is a tenant meeting. Is that right? Is that?
The one that you've been invited to is next Thursday morning, from I believe it's 9:30 to 11.
Next Thursday, that would be the 29th.
Yeah, tomorrow is we have a quarterly update that we do with the village tenants. That's a staff event.
Okay. Thank you for that clarification. So. All right, I think we have made it through the agenda for the night, and we shall stand adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you.